West Coast College Training, July 11 through 17, 2011, Occidental, California. Title, A Man of God. Morning Session 2, Message 5, The Homes.
Well, right now we want to have a little fellowship with you. We'll just call it an informal fellowship. I think you all have some papers passed out. It's an outline we're going to use for this time. If you don't have one, maybe raise your hand. But oh, wow. Okay. So they're being passed out, so you should get them soon. Well, while they're coming, just a reminder that this is the line on the gospel, related to the gospel on the campuses. And so we've had quite a bit of fellowship all week on this matter. And we want to have some, I would say, some concluding fellowship. But before we get into the matters that are touched on the outline, I'd just like to impress us. You know, well, in order to be impressed regarding the fellowship we're going to have, I'd say we all have to have a burden for the gospel. So I'd just like to just say a few things. Actually, I'd like to read to you from John 15. This is a very familiar chapter to us. But every time I read it, it's new. I hope it can be new to us right now. You know, here in John 15, this is the vision, I would say, that the Lord gave to us. And we're going to talk about some practical things in our fellowship. But it's always good to be reminded of the vision. So I'm just going to read to you. You'll be very familiar with these verses. In John 15, the Lord says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. So saints, this is the reality. The reality is that the Lord is the true vine. There is a true vine in the universe, which is the Lord. And the Father is the husbandman. There's a rich source, a bountiful supply for this vine, which is the Father. And we are the branches. But every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. And there's a note on this word prune. It says cleanses. So then he continues, you are already clean. In a sense, pruned, right? Because of the word which I have spoken to you. Saints, if we need pruning, the pruning is in the Lord's word. Sometimes we need to go to the Lord for the pruning. And we can do that by coming to his word. If you feel like you're not so fruitful, I think we're all in the same boat maybe. But if you feel like you're not so fruitful, maybe we need to go to the Lord for pruning. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. This is so good. We like to hear the Lord telling us to abide in him. We like to abide in the Lord. But brothers and sisters, our abiding in the Lord is for something, right? It's not just for the enjoyment, although it is enjoyable, but it's for something. It is for the bearing of fruit. The Lord wants us to bear fruit. And for the bearing of fruit, he asks us to abide in him and he in us. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. When we have the realization, when we even have, I would say, a purpose in our life, we have We have the purpose of bearing fruit. We have the goal. We have the, I would say, even the mindset. We've set ourselves in this direction. We've determined that we need to bear fruit. Then we would be impressed that we need to abide in the Lord. To me, the matter of bearing fruit, it kind of it puts everything in place. For years, I grew up as a Christian in the church life, but the bearing of fruit was not so much on my mind, in my awareness. It wasn't until, you know, I just confess, I passed through the full-time training. But after I graduated from the training, I began to serve. And then I began to realize, you know, I need to have this purpose in my life. I need to be one who bears fruit. You know, I didn't have such a mindset until actually I began to serve the Lord. But I hope to impress you that you don't have to wait, you know. Anyways, but we do need to have this in our thought, in our concept. The Lord wants us to bear fruit. And actually, you know, according to these verses, He says, you are the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. Brothers and sisters, this means that we were made for this. We need to see that our destiny is to bear fruit. We were made to bear fruit, brothers and sisters. And if we're short in this experience of bearing fruit, we'll be short of something in our destiny. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is dried up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. And we touched this matter, the need for intercession in twos and threes. And this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So we touched this during the week, right? The way of love for preaching the gospel. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Well, and in verse 16, we're very familiar with this. You did not choose me, but I chose you and I set you. Again, brothers and sisters, we're made for this. I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask my Father in my name, he would give to you. I hope we can be impressed. We are made as branches in the vine. The Lord has made us to bear fruit. He made us in his image and he told us to bear fruit, right? There's something within us that is not satisfied until we enter into this experience of bearing fruit, of being fruitful in the matter of the gospel. Well, this was a word spoken to the disciples before the Lord's death, actually right before his death. And I would say it was a vision imparted to the disciples. But then I'd like to fast forward 50 days later, and that is Acts chapter 2. Right? Only 50 days later, the Lord had died and resurrected and he was poured out. And then we see something practical. We see some playing out here. In Acts chapter 2, after Peter spoke the gospel and so many were convicted and thousands received the Lord, then what does the Bible say? The next verse, right? The previous verse, 41, says, those then who received the word and were baptized, they were added on that day about 3,000 souls. So right away, 3,000 were gained for the Lord. And this was the beginning of the church life. And what does it say? They continued steadfastly in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. You know, to me, this is like the abiding in the Lord. You know, they're continuing in the fellowship, in the teaching, in the fellowship, in the prayers. And then I'm going to fast forward to verse 46. It says, "And day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house." And this is what we want to emphasize. From house to house. On the one hand, they were in the temple. On the other hand, it was house to house. House to house. They partook of their food with exaltation and simplicity of heart. They partook of their food, right? You know, like I said, this is just a fellowship. We're quite familiar with the home meetings. And I think even when I said house, or maybe when you looked at the paper that says house, maybe you thought about the home meetings. And but we're not talking about just the home meetings. And we're not putting down the home meetings either. But the Bible tells us day by day and house to house. And it tells us they partook of their food. They're just partaking of food. With exaltation and simplicity of heart. Praising God. Having grace with all the people. And what did the Lord said? He said, "Abide in me. If anyone abides in me, if the branch abides in me, he will bear fruit." Right? It says here, the Lord added together day by day those who are being saved. Amen. So, you know, brothers and sisters, we are endeavoring in this matter of the gospel, of the increase, and what we call the God-ordained way. And we're learning together with you the importance of the home. And this is our fellowship this afternoon. You know, on the outline, it says, under the importance of the home, it says that this is the Holy Spirit's invention. You know, I just read those verses. The Lord was telling them, giving them the vision. "I am the vine, you are the branches." But when it played out after the Lord died and resurrected and was imparted into them as the life-giving Spirit, when it played out, we see that it was from house to house, you know, and they're living together in this way, and the Lord added to them day by day those who were being saved. And, you know, I wanted to say something about man's concept versus the Holy Spirit's invention. I already read the verse, Acts 2:46, regarding the Holy Spirit's invention. But if you look at Mark 13:1, I'd like to read this to you. This is man's concept. The disciples were with the Lord. And the verse says, "And as he was going out of the temple, one of the disciples said to him, 'Teacher, behold, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings.'" You know, man's concept is big, right? And even to make, you know, to admire this wonderful temple, what stones, right? And what wonderful buildings. This is man's concept, to appreciate something big. But anyhow, Lord Jesus. You know, a brother has helped us. I think Brother Andrew Yu has helped us with changing our focus. And he gave us 3 points in changing our focus. He said we want to change the focus from big to small. And from meetings to, I believe, homes. Am I right? And from messages to people. Right? Well, of course, here we are, you know, we're giving messages, and this is big. But brothers and sisters, we want to help. We want to pick up this concept. We want to learn with you. Actually, we believe that maybe a lot of you have some good experiences already. But, you know, again, this is fellowship. You know, my wife is she's a very outgoing and aggressive person, which is a very good balance for me. And I have a cousin who, he's like me, kind of mellow. But he married also an outgoing and aggressive person. So we actually, I didn't know him until recently, and we were introduced and we began to get to know one another. And I quickly realized it was kind of funny to me to see this interaction. But my wife was so quick to invite them to things. You know, we had a celebration meeting, or there was a conference, or, you know, even we have a home meeting, and we're conversing, and, you know, and then I saw it coming. There was an invitation, you know, come to the, you know. But then my cousin's wife was just as aggressive, right? And she began inviting us to their things, you know. You know, brothers and sisters, it's the tendency is to want to invite, to ask someone to come, you know, come. And, you know, I don't want to give the wrong impression. You know, there is a place. It's very good to invite people to, sometimes we have meetings that are kind of, they're made for inviting people to that meeting, right? And this is good. But it's a kind of a tendency that we all the time invite and ask people to come to us. But actually, we need to take the Lord's pattern to go, right? The Lord came to us, right? He left his throne. There's a hymn that says, you know, he left the throne to come to us, right? And in the same sense, you know, as we pick up a burden for the gospel and for people, we need to realize the Lord in us is going to them, is going to where they are. Maybe we can have this diagram. You know, we've shown this diagram a number of times. But we want you to get the principle. The principle is that we go to them, right? It says their home, but what is their home? You know, I hope that we can all pick up the principles and apply them where we are. The home could be a dormitory. It could be, if they live with their parents, it could be that home. If they live with friends, it could be that home. The point is that we go to them where they are. And I need to give Brother Robert time to release his burden too. But I like to say the principle in going to their home is that we go to them where they are. We don't require something of them, but we have something that we want to. Actually, we just love them. We just want to. We want to be with them. We want to know them, and we can't know them that much until we go to where they are. And this home, right? This is the home of those who are in the church life, those who are meeting in the church life, who have seen Christ in the church and who are practicing the church life. And of course, we want them to experience that. So, but we have to first go to them, and we have to get with them in a way that they can open to us. You know, like the one that was left for dead on the road, that the Samaritan came to that one. He was left for dead. He couldn't get up and go to that hotel, right? The Samaritan had to put him on the donkey and bring him to the inn. So So we, you know, Lord Jesus, we need to go to where they are, wherever they are, you know, and maybe they don't let you into their home right away. That's okay, you know. We can, to whatever degree they open to us. Coming into their home is significant because that means they're opening. And maybe they wouldn't open that quickly. But if, you know, as we're burdened for them, as we're loving them, as we're praying for them with our companions, they'll open eventually. If they open to let us come to their home, that's quite an opening. But the goal is to bring them into the church life, right? The church life. We're so happy in this lovely place, right? And the church life is also in the homes. You know that there's a verse in Hebrews that says, "Let us consider one another, so as to incite one another to love and good works." You know, in this time, as much as I love the college training, I haven't been able to consider so many of you. A few of you, yes, but in the homes, we can is the place where it's a family atmosphere. There's the right setting. We can consider one another so as to incite one another to love and good works. Anyhow, brothers and sisters, I'm going to give the time to Brother Robert. I just want to impress you that we need to realize bearing fruit is our destiny. And if we haven't experienced it, then there's something much more for us to experience. And I hope that we could all have this aspiration that we want to be fruitful members in the vine. But then as we have this aspiration, we need to realize the Lord's way is to go. Go to the people who have need of Him. And also the Lord's way of the church life is in the homes. The church life is in the homes. And so, as I said, we're just fellowshipping these matters. And we hope that we can learn together. Amen. Learn of one another. Praise the Lord.
Let's all declare 1 Timothy 2:4. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a rich training. I believe that the Lord, in His rich speaking, He released the burden. What is the burden? He has a desire. Our God has a desire. Amen. According to 1 Timothy 2:4, we see He has a desire. And also in the Old Testament, according to Haggai 2:7, man has a desire. The Lord is the desire of the nations. So God has a desire. Man has a desire. We as students on the campuses, we need to pick up this burden to bridge these two together. And one of the sharing said, even atheists, they have a desire. We need to pick up this burden to be one with the Lord. Respond to His call to bring what we have received from the Lord to our peers, to our classmates. I just want to follow our brother Rob. The Lord, He's a visiting God. Even we see in Genesis 3 from the beginning, He visited Adam and Eve. Of course, here, they were not in a good situation. They were hiding. So the Lord had to go visit them. He said, "Where are you?" So, and also in Genesis 18, God also visited Abraham. So in Genesis 3, it was a negative. They were hiding from God. But in Genesis 18, you know what? God came to Abraham. You know why He visited Abraham? Because God had a need. So in Genesis 3, He wants to visit man. But in Abraham, when He visited Abraham, He had a need. And God needs us. He needs you. And to do what? to pick up this burden and to pray. Maybe, you know, none of us, or at least, you know, when it comes to preaching the gospel, my heart starts to pump. But we can admit, we have to admit, we have a burden. The Lord spoke to us this training. So the burdens, it's all over around us. And then even in John 4:35, the Lord said, lift up your eyes. Look around you, your peers, your classmates. They are ready. They are waiting for you to speak to them. And the best way is to pick up the burden. So, let's see. This, what is burden? Oof. This is heavy. So once I pick up the burden, Noah, can you help me? I need help. Help, help. Oh, okay. Thank you. So this is God. He came to Abraham. He said, I need help. I need you to pray to release Lot. So how about our friends on the campus? Some of the students, they have a burden, but you don't know how to reach them. First thing, we need to pray. We are connected. Some of us, we have the nucleus. That's excellent. Pray for one another and pray for your contacts. Each one of us, we need to have at least 2-3 names we can pray. And then we pray for their names. And then eventually, if you need help, you need to seek for help. For this, I want to call Ryan, Dan. Can you come up here? So while they are coming, don't give up. If you have a burden for your friend, pray. If you cannot make it, seek for help.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord for the homes. Amen.
My name is Ryan. I'm going to be a fourth year at Arizona State University. And we brothers actually are going, we're in the same home meeting. And I just wanted to share with you a little bit of how we actually got into this home meeting. 3 years ago, when I entered college, I was invited to a home. And when I went there, it was really nice because the saints there were just feeding us. And, you know, you're hanging out with the brothers. It's a great atmosphere, right? And then what I noticed was that there was a homes. And then when we went to our coronation time, there was also this thing about the campus work. But for some reason to me, it felt like they were never connected. Because at that time, it felt like the students, when we did our work, we were always with the full-timers. We never had fellowship with the families. But that all changed a year afterwards when the full-timers in Arizona, because of many different situations, they all had to leave. And that left the students there. And what happened was the students did have a vision. We knew there was a burden. There was a burden on campus that we need to gain the ones on campus for the Lord. But for us, it was very difficult because we weren't sure how to go on. We knew we had to pray. We knew there was, you know, we need to be in the Word. But practically, we just did not know what to do. And this really forced us to look around us and find where can we go for help. Luckily, at that time, you know, there was these homes that were open to us. And it really touched me that a brother shared to me, you know, have you ever thought about what it means for a home to be open to you? You know, these saints, they open their homes to you. Not only do they open their homes, but they open their refrigerators to you. And not only that, but they actually cook a good meal for you. And I was just really touched that, you know, these saints are just pouring out for us. You know, they invite you over. They're like, here, come eat our food. We prepare this for you. And through this, we actually ended up going to the families for help. You know, we had many different things that we had questions about, like, you know, we have a meeting. What should we read about? Should we read this line, this? And we were able to open to the brothers. And through this, actually, we became more related with them because we opened up to them. We were able to open up our situations, and they were able to help us with the experiences they had. And I think through this, it was really helpful because I was really able to see that we were building a genuine relationship. Many times afterwards, I mean, I know these brothers will know, but for some reason, every time I went to one of the brothers' home, he always had the same greeting, and every time it always bothered me. Every time you go in the house, he would come up to you and say, "Hey, big guy, how are you?" And for some reason, it always bothered me because he just felt like he cared so much about me. I mean, it's just amazing to be related with these ones. Actually, one experience after being related with these ones that I really enjoyed was actually for this college training, us brothers, the only reason we're here is because of the ones we are related to. One of the brothers in our home meeting, he was with us all the time, and we were always with them, you know, meeting together. Not even just in a Friday night meeting, but, you know, when you're in a home, it's a family life. You don't just see each other once a week. You see each other very often, and you talk about almost anything. And this brother, he heard about our situation that we didn't have a way to get to the college training. We didn't have a car. We didn't have a vehicle. And so he graciously offered his car to us for 3 weeks. And at first we were like, "Are you sure you want to do this? We're taking your car for 3 weeks, and four brothers are going to be in your car." But it was just amazing. He was so open. Him and his family just said, "Yeah, no problem. Take the car. It's yours. We'll get an oil change, everything done. Take it. Bring it back." And the only thing he required of us was to bring back enjoyment for him to enjoy. And so I was just so touched that, you know, once we were related with his family, you know, for anything, we could just go to them. No matter if we were feeling down or we had something with the campus work that we were, you know, struggling with, they were just so open to us. They were willing to just come up and help us. And I was just really enjoying that, you know, the homes really is where we need to be. It is where the church life is.
Well, this past year, moving from Michigan to Arizona was a pretty big change. And I got stuck living in the dorms for my freshman year. But I just thank the Lord for giving me that experience, because in the dorms, I met one of my sweet mates from, he was an international student from El Salvador. This one, he was so open to receive so many things. And, you know, the first thing was I would go to the home meetings, I would go to the Friday night meetings, go to YP meetings, and consistently sometimes just be gone for 3 to 4 hours at a time. And my sweet mate would wonder where I was at. And he was always like asking me, "You know, Dan, you're gone for so long. Like, what exactly are you doing?" And but when I would come back, I would always have food for him, bringing back meals and boxes of food that the saints provided to us. And, you know, he always was wondering, like, "Where am I getting this awesome food from?" You know? And I said, "You know, just come with me once to this Thursday night meeting, our home meeting, and just come and just eat dinner with us." It was so easy just to bring him in and shepherd him in and just show him how the church life is a real family life. Amen. You know, having a home away from home is something so important to me and to this other brother, just to bring him in to show him that he has a home away from home. Amen. And he told me, he asked me, he said, "Dan, how long have you had a relationship with these people?" And I said, "I actually just met them this year." You know, just meeting these brothers and having them shepherd me, you know, it's just so amazing. But he was so perplexed, like, how could this be? Like, you've only known them for like 3 months, but yet it seems like you've known them for so many years. Because the church life is a family life. And we always shepherd one another, and just anything, practical needs, just even cooking meals, going buying groceries, you know. It's just such a shepherding life. Amen. And I really thank the brothers for that.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah for the home meetings. They're just so enjoyable. I guess share a little before I joined the home meeting. It's like maybe junior high and high school. I didn't really have, I guess, daily life. Maybe in the conferences or the trainings or something, maybe I'd get some inspiration. And I tried to read the word or have some morning time for, and it maybe last a month, maybe a few weeks or something, or a few days. But it was generally just, I just had the weekly time with the Lord, Saturday nights and the Lord's table and the prophesying meeting. So my week would generally, you know, start with the enjoyment of the Lord from the meeting, and then it just go down. And then maybe halfway through the week, it just, you know, just be terrible, you know, like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, just not good. And, amen. But, amen. So, but then, right, I was invited to the home meetings, and that's like, bam, right in the middle of the week. And it's like a school night, right? Like, is that even legal? And so instead of just a downward trend, it's kind of like a down and an up and then back down. But so Wednesday, Thursday, Friday aren't that bad anymore. There's something to bring me back up.
Amen.
But and then even more, you know, the you know, the families, they're more crafty than you think. So they lure you in with, you know, the open homes and the delicious home cooked meals. But then then they ask you, you know, for your enjoyment. So, well, you know, if I don't have my daily time with the Lord, then there's not much to enjoy. But because, you know, these families take care of us, there's a love you gain for them. So you also want to nourish them. So you begin to kind of want to get into the Word so you can nourish them. So instead of you know, down and then back up and then down, it's kind of more like a wiggle through. And then, you know, and then so then that also goes or connects with preaching the gospel, right? Yeah. Because if you're just going down, you know, by Wednesday, you'll have nothing to say. But if you have something you enjoy during the day, you know, when you come up to someone, you know, it's like Rhema activate, you know, you just automatically, spontaneously, you know, you can just share what you enjoyed that day, you know, like, amen. Hallelujah, we can abide in the Lord, amen. So, amen. And then, so also with regard to the love of the saints, you know, it's just how much, it's amazing how much they care and shepherd us. I remember there was, like, maybe one of the first few times we started meeting, I had shared in a light, like, I thought it was in a light way, some goal I had in pursuing the Lord. But I think it was 2 months ago or something, the brother said to me, you know, you may have forgotten, but I remember. So this brother, he still, you know, he remembered that. He actually paid attention to what I was saying, you know. He actually cares for us. Amen. So, you know, if I had some friends or something, you know, that I wanted to bring in, it's not because, you know, there's that procedure that, you know, you go to them and then you speak to them a little and then you bring them to the meeting or the home meetings and that's what you're supposed to do. But it's because that I really enjoy and I've experienced the care and the shepherding of the saints that I want my friends to share that experience.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for the homes.
Amen.
The brothers are telling me that we're really short on time, so I'm just going to read a verse that became reality in the homes. It's Ephesians 4:16. It's, out from whom all the body, being joined together and being knit together through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation of in the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love.
Amen.
And, you know, growing up, you'd always hear that verse or even memorize it in some conferences and stuff. But it wasn't until I entered into a home meeting where I saw that it is through the measure of each one part. It's through the measure of these brothers here, and it's through the measure of the families. You know, if it wasn't for the home meeting, I would never in my natural self be built up with these brothers. But praise the Lord, through the home meetings, these are my vital companions.
Amen.
And I go on with these brothers. Amen. And same thing with the families. In my natural self, it's kind of hard to relate to them, but they're so nourishing and cherishing that every time you enter in, it's like you're running to, you know, like your dad, and they're just there to hug you. And it's just so enjoyable to be in the home meetings.
Brothers. Be connected in the homes with the saints. So when we have contacts, we can pray not only with our peers, not only with our students that we are connected, we can also bring this burden to the homes. So every time we enter into the homes, we are entering into their heart. Not only they feed us, but they also feed us spiritually. They pray for us. Even they remind us to pray for our contacts. And I just want to just read a few verses from John 15. Just reemphasize. In John 15:5, it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He is the vine, we are the branches. Branches are corporate. And he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And then verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I set you, and you go to bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain. It's interesting, not only we preach the gospel on the campus, our friends, they get saved, but for them to remain, to become remaining fruit, we need the homes. And to bring them in the homes means to bring them into the church life. You know, Acts 8:1-2, where we see Paul was devastating the church, entering house to house. And I just conclude. I have just want to share my testimony. How I was ushered into the church life. I'm not a church kid. I was in the world, and I had a desire, and I didn't know what it was. You are so fortunate. Many of you were born in the church life. There is nothing out there that you should desire. And I was there, and it's miserable. You know, when you see this diagram, can we have the diagram?
Sorry.
One of the brothers contacted me first when I was in my house, in my home. He was connected with the homes. He had many homes. He was here. He was connected here. He had many homes, many saints. I would say the entire church was supporting him. So he visited me here. I was living with my parents. I have three brothers, one sister. He visited me week by week, once a week, sometimes twice a week, for at least a year. So every time he came, he brought someone with him. So every week I see some new faces, plus him. And sometimes he came at night and I wasn't home and I saw his car. So I stayed outside. I waited for him to leave first and then. But he did not give me up. Because of the prayer, not only his prayer, but the prayer of the saints. And by the Lord's mercy and grace, I'm here. Because of the prayers. And then after 1 year, he brought me to a home. You see? He bridged me to the homes. And I was connected at least two homes. I just want to impress all of us. While I was growing up, and I couldn't find any parents, even in my relatives, friends, even my parents. And I had a goal in my life. But as soon as I entered into that home, after 1 year later, I saw my future. I saw the saints, a couple, how they lived with children. I said, I want that. Yes, he was visited me at home. It was very good. Reading the word, prayer reading, singing. I really enjoyed it. But I said, this is not for me. How can I put all these into practice. Saints, it's not a small thing to be in the homes. The homes of the saints, we see parents, we see our future. And I touch the reality of all the words that I've been spoken to. I said, wow, I love here. I want to remain here. This is my future. And of course, I got married. That future became real to me. I have 3 kids. So now I'm here because of the mercy and grace in the homes. The prayers of the saints kept me in the church life, in the homes. And my kids, my children, the same thing. They love the church life. And even one of my kids, they go to elementary school, 3 of them. They invite their classmates. In a short period of time, I would say, and it took maybe a year, some of the parents, they drop their kids. And she, week by week, the parents got interested. Okay, what's going on? She wants to go. She's 2nd grade. And eventually, to make it short, they were so impressed. They came to have dinner with us. And they decide to meet with us. The younger, the more they are young, the more they are open. So right now, you are your prime time on the campuses. Brothers and sisters, the students are open. They are waiting for you. Waiting for you to share what you have. What you have, what they need. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for such a speaking. Amen. So I'll stop here.